Okay, so now you can forget about one-sided directional derivatives because we will not use them, but they are relevant in optimization. So if some of you will go beyond the contents of the course, sooner or later you will find them. First big difference with the case n equal 1. Okay? N equal 1, the function has a derivative at the point, implies that the function is continuous at that point. Now suppose n is greater than 1, and you have all the directional derivatives, all the partial derivatives at a given point. The function may be not continuous. And I'll show you an example, a standard example which you will find on almost every calculus book. Okay? So, two variables, f, so is a function of x1 and x2, and the value is the following, x1 squared times x2, all divided by x1 at the fourth power plus x2 squared, and all the ration is up to the square. Clearly, this is not well defined if x1 and x2 are both 0, because you have 0 at the denominator. So, this is if x1 and x2 are not both 0, if x1 and x2 is not the vector 0. And you take, let's say for instance, value 0 at point x1, x2 equals 0. Okay. Zero vector, the function takes value zero. In all other vector is this ratio, the square of this ratio. So, I'll show you that this function is not continuous. Okay? And I'll show you take points. Let's consider the values on a parabola. So, the function is a function of two variables, so it's defined on the plane, and if you want to see the graphic of the function, you should have a third dimension, okay, to see the graph. So, I want to check the values of the function on parabolas. Okay, so x2 is equal alpha times x1 squared, okay? And you compute, and let's say x1 different from 0. We know that in 0, the function takes value 0. And you compute x1, x2, so you can replace x2 with alpha times x1 squared, okay? Okay, this is an exercise for undergraduate students. You substitute here at x2 these values. What you get is the following. Alpha squared divided 1 plus alpha squared. Okay, so you can make the computation. You have it on the lecture note. It's just you substitute, you take the squares and you distribute the values, you get this. What do you notice? This value
is positive.
It's positive, and it is always the same. Okay. Does not depend on x1. Okay. On a parabola, the value is always the same. So if we take alpha equal 1, the value is 1 over 2 squared, it's 1/4. So if you take x2 equal x1 squared, on all these points, the function takes value 1/4. Okay? So, you see why the function is not continuous. What's the value here? 0, 0. The value is 0. Okay? And here you have as many sequences as you like that converge to 0. Okay? But the values do not go to 0. Okay, you take any sequence. Let's say you take xk equal 1 over k, 1 over k squared. Which is the limit of this sequence? For k that goes to plus infinity, this goes to 0 and this goes to 0. So, this sequence goes to 0, 0. Okay? But f at xk, so these are points on this parabola, sorry, is always 1/4. Okay? While the value at 0, 0, let's call it x star, is 0. You have a sequence of points which go to 0, but the value of the function at the point do not go to 0. So the function is not continuous. Okay? And notice, okay, oh, you were wrong. Put 1/4 here. Okay? But then I take x2 equal 2 times x1 squared. Okay, so I take alpha equal 2. Here you get 4 over 5 squared, 4 over 25. Okay? Which is different from 1/4. So, whatever you put here, the function is not continuous. Because it is constant on all parabolas, but with different values for each parabola. Okay? So, I put 0, because if I put 0, the function has directional derivatives. Okay? And I'm just giving you the result without making the actual computation. So, take x bar equals 0, 0 and compute the directional derivative of f with respect to any direction d. Okay, you should take the limit for t that goes to 0 of f at it's 0 plus t times d, so d is a vector d1, d2, so this is time, okay, minus f at x bar, which is the value, is 0, so you don't have it, divided by t. Okay? That Then you substitute, okay, here, and what you get is the limit for t that goes to zero of this quantity. So you can do the whole computation, and what you get here is the limit for t that goes to zero of t d1 fourth power times d2 square divided t square times d1 at the fourth power plus d2 square all squared. Okay, you get this. Now take the limit as t that goes to zero. Okay, this goes to zero, so all of this goes to this quantity over this, and this goes to zero. Okay, so this is zero. So it exists. Take note, you must suppose d2 different from zero, because if d2 is equal to zero, this is zero, and when you take the limit here, you have zero at the denominator. But for d2 equals zero, the function is always zero. Okay? So if you take d2 equals zero, this is zero, x2, the value x2 is zero, so the function takes value zero. So if one of the two is zero, one of the two components of d is zero, this is always zero, and the limit is zero too. Okay? So directional derivative exists for every direction, but the function is not continuous. Why? Why do we have this? Well, the problem is the following. To show that the function is... really sorry, two blackboards are not enough to do this stuff. To show that the function is not continuous, we moved along parabolas. Okay? Directional derivative are along lines. Okay? When we compute partial derivatives or directional derivatives, we move along lines. It means that we consider the function just defined on that line. Okay? In the case n equal 1, this is the whole space, because R is a line. Okay? When you move to R2, you have, yes, infinitely many lines. You can approach a point with infinitely many lines, and you can compute these derivatives. But you can move also along the other type of curves. You can approach the point along other type of curves. For instance, parabolas. Okay? So, directional derivative do not give the full information on the function at a point, because you can approach the point in different ways. In R, you can approach a point only along a line. In R2, you have a point, you can approach it on a line, you can approach on a curve like done like this, you can approach on a curve like done like this, and so on. You can imagine whatever curve you want that passes through the point. Okay? And you can approach the point along that curve. So this is the meaningful difference from the case n equal 1. And that is the reason why directional derivatives do not guarantee continuity. And we don't like to have discontinuous functions. We notice that continuity is relevant in optimization. We have seen Weierstrass theorem at the beginning of the lecture. Okay? So we want to be sure that if we have a function with derivatives, the function is continuous. Okay? So we need another concept, an additional concept. But don't worry, we did not lose time. The new concept will be connected to this one. Okay? In particular, it will be connected to the gradient. So, not everything is lost. For n equal 1, we are happy when a function has a derivative. For n greater than 1, we will be happy when a function is differentiable. So f is called differentiable at a point x bar in Rn if there exists a linear function L of f from Rn to R, such that, and then I will complete the definition. I just want to recall you what a linear function is. Okay, so a function of n variables is linear if it satisfies this property. You have, let's say, x and y in Rn, alpha and beta in R. The value of the function at the point alpha times x plus beta times y is equal to alpha times the value of the function at s plus beta time the value of the function at y. So this is the definition of linear function. Okay. The definition is, it's a definition and you don't get much from the definition, but a function is linear if and only if, okay, and now I guess you will recognize it, there exists, let's say, a vector L in Rn such that the function L at every point x is exactly the scalar product of L with x. Okay? Okay, and which means, which means L1 x1 plus L2 x2 plus Ln xn. Okay, now you recognize a linear function. Okay? You have n variables and they are linked linearly. Okay? L1, L2, Ln are the coefficients. Okay? Linear programming, for instance, operation research course, and second, year at an undergraduate program.
Yeah.
Okay, because I named it that way. So your function is the sum of the components, each with a weight, with a coefficient, okay? So if you remember linear programming, objective functions and constraints were given through this type of functions, okay? So let's go back to the definition. We have a linear function, so let's say an easy function, okay, with a nice form, such that it provides a good approximation of f around the point. And this is formally written this way. You take any d in Rn, the value of f at x plus d, oh sorry, at x bar plus d, is exactly the value of f at x plus the linear function lf computed at d, which is this difference, the difference between this vector and this vector, plus a residual. Okay, I called it RF at the given point for D. Okay, so, and the residual has this property. If d is small, if d is a vector with a small norm, is a very small vector, the residual is very small. Okay? Actually, you have something more than that. You have that the residual function so, x bar is fixed, f is fixed. So, receiver function as function of the direction has the following property, that if you compute it at points d, such that the norm of d goes to zero, the residual function divided the norm of d goes to 0 too. Okay? So, roughly speaking, the residual goes to 0 faster than, the residual at d goes to 0 faster than the norm of d. Okay? So, roughly speaking, if d is a vector with very, very small norm, this is a very, very small value, okay? And the function, at this point is almost this quantity, okay? So, consider x bar is fixed. Consider this as a function of d. This means that it changes linearly close to the point. Almost linearly, up to this residual. Okay? This means differentiability. A function is differentiable on a set if it is differentiable at every point of the set. And this linear function here is called the differential of f at the given point. Okay?
Oh.
Purple's not a good color for the blackboard. Okay? So this linear function is called the differential. Function is differentiable if around the point it can be approximated in a good way with a linear function. But up to now we don't know what the differential is. Okay? It's a linear function. So the definition tells you this linear function exists. But we have much more than this, because we can prove this result, which tells you many things. So a proposition which gives you the properties of differentiable functions. So let's suppose that f is differentiable at a given point, x bar in Rn. Then we have these three properties. First of all, f is continuous at the given point. So we recovered what we had in the case n equal 1. Second point, f has directional derivatives at the given point in each direction. You take any direction, the directional derivative exists. In particular, if you take the direction of the canonical basis, this is telling you that all partial derivative exists. No? But we have just seen that if a function might have all directional derivatives and not being not continuous. So if you have differentiability for n greater than 1, you have continuity, you have directional derivatives, and the most relevant property is the third one, which tells you how the differential is done. Because the differential is the following linear function. F has all the directional derivatives, so has all the partial derivatives, so has a gradient. The gradient is well defined. And the differential is at a point D, is the scalar product of the gradient of F at the given point, scalar D. So, is the scalar product of the gradient and of the direction. Okay? So, the coefficients of this linear function are the partial derivatives. Okay? So, here, if a function is differentiable, here, this linear function has this form where you have the gradient. So this means that this is the directional derivative of f in direction with respect to x1 at x bar times d1 plus the directional derivative of f at x2 So with respect to x2 at x bar times d2, and so on up to n.
Okay.
But we will use this compact form. Okay. You can substitute in the definition to the differential this color product. It's the gradient that gives you the linear function which approximates the function when you are very close to the given point. Well, it's very easy to prove continuity because you just apply the definition taking d equal x minus x bar, okay? Let's say you do it with sequences. Okay. Take any sequence xk which converge to x bar. Okay. And you apply the definition with dk equal to xk minus x bar, and then you take the limit. Okay. Since xk goes to x bar, dk goes to zero. Okay. And so you have this property. You apply this property and continuity follows because you prove that f at xk goes to f at x bar. Okay? This goes to zero, this goes to zero, and you're left with this. Okay, try it. Now, I don't have enough blackboard to make the proof unless I erase the definition. I hope you have written the definition down so you can read it on your notes. So, let's prove that directional derivative exists. So we take the direction, d, and we try to compute the directional derivatives. That is the limit for t that goes to zero of f at x bar plus t times d minus f at x bar all divided by t. Okay? Now, the function is differentiable. So, you have the definition on your paper. You can apply the definition taking taking this as D, okay, what is the definition telling you? It's telling you that this difference is the differential computed at the difference of these two vectors, P times D, plus the residual, all divided by Q. Okay? Sorry, this is T times T. Okay? I just substituted here what is given by the definition of a differentiable function. Okay? Now, this is linear. This is a linear function. So, T is a number that can go outside. Okay? So, this is the limit for T that goes to zero, T times LFT divided by T plus RFXYTD divided by T. Here T goes away. So this does not depend on T. It's a constant value. So you're doing the limit of a constant value plus something which depends on T. Okay? So this is equal to the constant value plus the limit of the other part which depends on T. Okay? So this does not depend on T, so you can take it out of the limit. Okay, so now we are almost done, because this goes to zero. Why does this goes to zero? This follows immediately from the definition of the, from the property of the residual. Okay? Because there is the residual let's call it H. This goes to zero when the norm of this vector goes to zero. Okay? And this ratio goes to zero. Here we have what? Our point is T times D. Okay? So, what is the norm of T times D? It's the absolute value of T times the norm of D, but D is a direction, so the norm is 1. Okay? So, let's write it this way. Okay? I just multiply and divide it by the absolute value of T. Okay? We know, so now this is this. So this goes to zero. Okay? And this is plus 1 or minus 1. Okay? So for, if T is positive here, you have 1 and this goes to 0. If T is negative, this is minus 1, but this goes to 0, so everything goes to 0. Okay? It doesn't, unlike the previous case, now it doesn't mind that this is plus or minus 1, because you are multiplying it for something which goes to 0. So, in both cases, it goes to 0. If here you have plus 1 or minus 1, since this is going to 0, all of this is going to 0. So this is 0. This is 0, so everything you are left is this value. This means that the directional derivative exists. Okay? Because this is a number. We computed the limit, and the limit exists. So, directional derivative exists in each direction. Okay, so let me write it just this way. We proved not only that directional derivative exists, but we proved also this formula. Okay? The directional derivative is nothing but the differentiable, that the differential computing in the at the direction d. Now the proof of the most relevant part is easy. It's very easy. Because to prove it, we just compute the derivative, this derivative in a different way, exploiting this one. Okay? So, let's write D as the sum of its components times the vectors of the canonical basis, okay? So, you'll write it as D1, 0, 0, 0, plus 0, D2, 0, 0, 0, and so on, okay? And now we compute the directional derivative. The directional derivative of the coin is this linear function. Okay, so is this one. Okay, where these are coefficients and these are vectors. But the function is linear. Okay? The function is linear means that the function computed at the sum of values is the sum of the weights times the function computed at the points. Okay? But now, what is the differential computed at a vector of the canonical basis? We have just proved this. Okay? So, is the partial derivative with respect to xi. Okay? Because here you have EI, here you have EI, so the partial derivative. So these are actually DI times the partial derivative of F with respect to XI computed at X bar. Well, and what is this? You have a vector d, and the vector which we call the gradient, and we are summing the product of their components. So this is the scalar product of the two vectors. So this is the gradient of f, scalar product with d, by definition of scalar product. So we proved. By 2 we proved this. Then we applied again 2 and we arrived here. Okay? So we proved 3. Okay? And now you can replace the differential with this expression in the definition of differentiability. This gives you the so-called Taylor's formula. Okay? On Friday, we will start again from Taylor's formula. Okay? And I just tell you that Taylor formula is the tool that we will use a huge lot to prove results, to prove optimality conditions, and to prove convergence of algorithms. Will be one of the main tools.